The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jory Slodke for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Discover. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the January-February 2024 issue. We begin with our cover story, The State of Science. Humankind takes big steps back to the moon for the first time in 50 years. AI makes a giant leap forward as the rise of ChatGPT and other models amuse, astound, and unsettle us. Growing climate concerns give rise to the idea of global weirding. A doomed queen's lost letters are deciphered by an unlikely team of amateur codebreakers. New light is shed on the ancient secrets to making a perfect mummy. All of these and dozens of other breakthroughs and discoveries made 2023 a banner year for science. Find out which moments stood out as Discover's top choices for the greatest and most intriguing science stories of the year. All the Lonely People, Unmasking the Hidden Epidemic of Isolation in the U.S. The standard public health threats are all too familiar. Smoking, high blood pressure, cancer, more recently, COVID-19. But a new government advisory made headlines in 2023 by adding an unexpected major player to that list. Loneliness, stated the report from Surgeon General Vivek Murthy, is a widely under-recognized U.S. health crisis. In recent years, about 50% of Americans have experienced loneliness, which comes with a hefty dose of adverse effects. Lonely people, as Murthy's report warns, run the same mortality risk as people who smoke 15 cigarettes a day. Millions of people in America are struggling in the shadows, and that's not right, Murthy told the Associated Press in May. I issued this advisory to pull back the curtain on a struggle that too many people are experiencing. Institutions that once fostered social connection, such as churches and community-based organizations like Rotary Clubs, are shrinking or disappearing. That civic disintegration, along with a COVID-driven remote work boom, is nudging more people into the lonely category. Still, on its surface, Murthy's warning sounds awfully dire and somewhat baffling. It's hard to fathom how a lack of companionship could be as threatening as an addiction or a global pandemic. But humans are so biologically wired to be social that isolation wreaks surprising havoc on our systems. People who lack social support have a 29% higher risk of heart disease, a 32% higher risk of stroke, and a 26 to 29% higher risk of premature death, according to the report. What's more, such health effects in isolated older adults have led to about $6.7 billion in excess Medicare spending each year. Scientists know how that loneliness can cause a broad swath of health problems. That may be because ancestral humans thrived in supportive communities, and anything less can set off a biochemical stress response. Our brains function more efficiently when we are with others, says Julianne Holt-Lunstad, a professor of psychology and neuroscience at Brigham Young University and the lead scientist on the Surgeon General's advisory. In multiple studies, the stress of loneliness has been linked to higher levels of inflammation in the body. When this inflammation persists, the resulting cellular damage can lead to chronic illnesses like vascular disease, diabetes, and Alzheimer's. The ill effects of excess alone time show up in more immediate ways, too. When University of Vienna psychologist Giorgia Celani and her team deprived 30 people of social contact and monitored them for 8 hours, their energy levels plummeted as if they had starved themselves for the whole day. The results were published in Psychological Science in May. If you don't eat, you feel weaker. You don't have the resources for moving and doing things, Celani says. We found the same effect with social isolation. Since humans rely on personal connections to make life easier, she thinks social deprivation may cause us to overestimate the effort it takes to tackle life alone, making us feel depleted. Since loneliness can feel so much like a personal failure, it's easy to assume that people should just try to handle it on their own. But in reality, many of the factors that promote social isolation are structural ones. It could be workplace policies that don't allow flexibility to nurture personal relationships, Holt Lundstad says. It might be busy or unsafe streets that are barriers to getting to know your neighbors. As a result, the solutions Murthy and Holt Lundstad propose aren't all individual lifestyle changes. We recommend investing in social infrastructure to help build connections in communities, Holt Lundstad says. That could mean increasing support for civic hubs like volunteer programs, redesigning public spaces to encourage gatherings, or revamping digital spaces in ways that promote bonding. Some future doctors might prescribe neighborhood mixers or bingo nights to ward off chronic illness. But in an ideal world, social contact would be so effortless that they'd never have to. FDA approves controversial new Alzheimer's drug. Lecanemab shows clinical benefits, but do they justify the risks? Few ailments are as fearsome as Alzheimer's disease, the most common form of dementia, which robs patients of their minds and memories before it takes their lives. So when the U.S. Food and Drug Administration approved a new treatment for Alzheimer's in July, the event made front-page news, but it also generated heated arguments. Lecanemab, branded as Leqembi by pharma companies Eisai and Biogen, is the first drug targeting the disease's underlying mechanisms to receive full approval from the FDA. The medication, an engineered molecule known as a monoclonal antibody, works by removing the sticky plaques of amyloid beta protein that gum up the brain as Alzheimer's progresses. In that respect, it resembles an earlier drug, aducanumab, marketed by Biogen as Aduhelm, which in 2021 was granted accelerated approval based on biomarkers rather than results. While that drug was effective at busting amyloid, its benefits to patients' cognitive health were never clearly demonstrated, and side effects were substantial. The FDA's decision drew near-universal criticism. Lecanemab, by contrast, was approved last summer on the basis of a large clinical trial showing that patients with early-stage Alzheimer's who received the medication declined 27% more slowly over 18 months than patients receiving a placebo. This gives people more months of recognizing their spouse, children, and grandchildren, Joanne Pike, president and CEO of the Alzheimer's Association, said in a statement. So why the controversy? For starters, that reduction in disease progression represents less than a half a point on an 18-point scale, measuring functions such as memory and problem-solving, a difference that some experts suggest is too small to be clinically meaningful. And the drug's potential side effects raise the question of whether the rewards justify the risks. Nearly 13% of trial patients receiving lecanemab experienced brain swelling, and 17% had brain bleeds. Although these symptoms were mostly mild or moderate, three of the affected patients died, though not during the randomized course of study. Then there's the cost, a hefty $26,500 a year. Patients must also undergo regular brain scans, potentially raising the tab to $90,000, and adding to the inconvenience posed by biweekly, hour-long infusions of the medication. Patients and physicians may soon have other options to choose from. Days after lecanemab got the nod, a large study of a similar drug, donanemab, reported marginally better efficacy numbers. Meanwhile, more amyloid antibodies are in development, and researchers are investigating an array of alternative approaches, including preventative vaccines and anti-inflammatory medications. What we can all agree on, says Lon Schneider, director of the California Alzheimer's Disease Center at the University of Southern California, is that we need much better treatments. The Year of Global Weirding, weather extremes in 2023 continued a trend of shattering records. While temperatures in Phoenix soared above 110 degrees Fahrenheit for a record-shattering 31 straight days in July, people began turning up in emergency rooms with third-degree burns that they had suffered after falling, their skin seared by blistering hot pavement. Although not unprecedented, burn specialists said the number and severity of injuries were much higher than ever before. Meanwhile, 30,000 feet up, the jet stream had become deranged. Its wavy, loopy, and swirling pattern helped lock heat domes in place, like the one over south central Arizona. Meteorologist Jeff Berardelli called the pattern insane. University of Pennsylvania climate scientist Michael Mann likened it to a Vincent van Gogh painting. In Canada, by midsummer, wildfire season was already twice as bad as any other on record, thanks to abnormally warm and dry conditions. By early September, 63,700 square miles had been burned, about half the size of South Carolina. Far-flung smoke from the blazes choked millions in major cities like New York and turned skies a sickening shade of orange. Elsewhere in the world, parts of India saw particularly heavy monsoon deluges that inundated several cities for days. Over the past seven decades, the monsoon has become more erratic, with more extreme rainfall as well as sudden droughts, at least partially tied to warming Indian Ocean waters. Back in the early 2000s, author and environmentalist L. Hunter Lovins coined the term global weirding as an alternative to global warming. The idea was to describe where Earth was heading with continued emissions of greenhouse gases. The weather extremes of 2023 suggest she was prescient. "I do think there's something to the global weirding framing," says Mann. "We're experiencing a type of weather behavior we haven't seen before." Research by Mann and colleagues has tied certain behaviors, like stalled weather systems floating over a place for weeks on end, to a jet stream flow made wavier than normal by climate change. But that possible connection is still the focus of intense scientific study. While some of the detailed mechanisms are still being worked out, there's no doubt humans have been tilting the climactic scales towards more intense and frequent extreme weather. In addition to hotter and longer-lasting heat waves, that includes drier droughts, with both hot and dry conditions contributing to wildfire disasters, as well as heavier deluges. In 2023, our hands seem to push even more heavily on the scales. On July 6, for example, Earth's average surface temperature soared to an unofficial record high. It could well have been the warmest day in 120,000 years. Research has shown that heat waves in southern Europe, North America, and China were made 1.8 degrees Fahrenheit to 4.5 degrees Fahrenheit hotter by climate change. Moreover, the maximum heat experienced in some of these regions would have been all but impossible without our influence. With broiling heat still gripping large parts of the planet, scientists knew well before the end of July that the month would be the warmest on record. This prompted UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres to say, "The era of global warming has ended. The era of global boiling has arrived." Outside of polar oceans, April's average global sea surface temperature had vaulted to a record high seasonal value, and sea temperatures continued shattering records every day through September. A burgeoning El Niño, characterized by large amounts of oceanic heat surfacing in the equatorial Pacific, contributed to the sweltering surface temperatures. But that couldn't explain all of what was happening. The current El Niño is building on top of long-term, human-caused warming of the oceans. Thanks to both, 2023 is likely to go down in the record books as the warmest year ever observed. And 2024 could be warmer still, with weather becoming even more extreme. Icy trouble in Antarctica. As 2023 dawned, the giant aprons of sea ice that fringe Antarctica had shriveled to a record low extent. Then the situation worsened. Despite plunging winter temperatures, the seasonal ice expanded at a record slow pace. By mid-August, the expanse was lacking an area more than one quarter the size of the U.S., compared to the long-term average. Experts said they had never seen anything quite like it. This lack of seasonal ice could have a ripple effect of further loss, as its formation shields long-lasting shelves of Antarctic ice from pounding ocean waves. These floating ice shelves, in turn, buttress the flow of glaciers draining from the endangered West Antarctic Ice Sheet, or WAIS, on land. When sea ice shrivels, the buttressing can weaken, potentially hastening runaway ice flow from the WAIS into the sea. That could raise sea levels dramatically before the century's end. The WAIS has already shed more than 3 trillion tons of ice in 25 years, possibly the start of a catastrophic collapse of the ice sheet. Experts say that reducing greenhouse gas emissions remains the most vital action humans can take to slow down or prevent this outcome. The neurodiversity movement has a moment. Gaining ground in 2023, the movement is making its mark on social media as well as science. By the middle of August 2023, one of Joey Lawrence's videos on TikTok had over 3 million views, and it wasn't a viral dance or recipe. Lawrence, a psychologist who also happens to be autistic, had posted the video about a month prior to talk about a new autism assessment on monotropism, when a person's attention is dedicated to a narrow range of interests. The views on Lawrence's video aren't entirely surprising. TikTok has exploded with content on neurodiversity since the app's surge in popularity during the pandemic. Now there are over 11 billion views on TikTok's hashtag neurodivergent, and Google searches for the term have increased steadily over the past year. Neurodiversity is a term that refers to the natural range of differences in people's brains. The neurodiversity movement says that the brains that diverge from the average within that range shouldn't be dismissed as deficient automatically. Instead, if a neurodivergent person struggles to function in society, it may be because there's a mismatch between their abilities and their surroundings, not because there's something inherently wrong with their thinking. The term dates back to the autism community in the 1990s, though it's now applied to all sorts of mental differences, from ADHD to synesthesia. And though neurodiversity went mainstream as a social justice movement, it's now transforming the way we research the brain, with more and more researchers applying neurodiversity-inspired approaches to cognition. In the past, autism was widely seen as an individual medical tragedy, writes Robert Chapman, a neurodivergent philosopher with autism, in their 2023 book, Empire of Normality, Neurodiversity and Capitalism. The only hope for autistic people and our families, it was thought, was that we would one day be fixed through behavioral conditioning or biomedical intervention. Neurodiversity challenges that notion. Rather than assuming, for instance, that an autistic person's struggles to find a job are the result of some internal shortcoming, neurodiversity research considers the existence of external explanations. By doing so, researchers in 2023 added to the growing body of evidence that non-autistic people can react negatively to the style, not content, of autistic communication, suggesting that barriers to autistic employment emerge from the environment, not only the individual. Added to this are shifting understandings of the theory of mind, or the ability to consider other people's perspectives. Traditionally, researchers suggested the theory of mind was deficient in autism, says Patrick Dwyer, an autistic graduate student studying developmental psychology at the University of California, Davis. Some even said this was a core central deficit common to all autistic people. Studies from 2022 and 2023 have shown, however, that many autistic people are pro-social and skilled at seeing other people's perspectives, while neurodiversity advocates stress it takes two to communicate. Though autistic people may struggle to understand a neurotypical perspective, neurotypical people may struggle to understand an autistic perspective, making it a double empathy problem, Dwyer says. This thread of research is already having an impact, helping autism interventions like the social stories technique take off. In June 2023, a study in Frontiers in Psychology proposed that this intervention, which introduces autistic children to common social situations, works by facilitating communication between neurodivergent and neurotypical individuals, with a focus on supporting children rather than fixing them. The technique is compatible with what autistic individuals advocate for themselves. In February 2023, Elizabeth Pelicano, an autism researcher at University College London, published an assessment of the funding of recent autism research. She found the majority was directed towards the biological causes of autism, while the minority was directed towards services, support, and education. Consulting members of the autistic community, she asked if the funding reflected their priorities. They felt that there was such an imbalance in the research profile that most of the research was not going to have any effect on everyday lives, she says. Among the topics that participants felt were ignored were the advantages of mental difference. Wouldn't it be amazing to see research examples of, like, autistic people's resilience and ability to thrive? One participant responded. By breaking down the negative connotations of cognitive difference, the neurodiversity movement could change how cognitive science is conducted, pushing researchers to embrace and explain a broader assortment of brains, according to a February 2023 cognitive science paper. Cognitive science can develop more general theories of cognitive diversity by broadening the range of diversity it considers worthy of attention, write the authors of the paper, including the University of Munich's Justin Sulik, a cognitive scientist with ADHD. In recent years, more research has shown that the inner workings of our brains are strikingly varied. Some people have aphantasia and lack a mind's eye, while some lack an internal monologue. Others have synesthesia and see colors or numbers decorating their perception. These differences are all forms of neurodivergence, Sulik says, and aren't always detrimental. A January 2023 study suggests, for example, that people with aphantasia aren't negatively affected by their inability to create mental images. There's no one way that the mind is supposed to work, Sulik says. Crucially, the neurodiversity movement allows neurodivergent people to transform their thinking about themselves. The dominant medicalized narrative suggested that being autistic made me somehow tragic, broken, and in need of fixing, Chapman writes in their 2023 book. This is why I found discovering the neurodiversity movement, which offered a different analysis, so liberating. As for neurodivergent people on TikTok, they are finding communities to celebrate their minds. One of my favorite things about being neurodivergent is that my thoughts make no sense, one user shared in a video from April 2023. But other neurodivergent people, they understand. Earth's core is changing. A rotational slowdown could alter the length of a day or slightly influence the planet's weather patterns. Deep beneath our feet, under 1,800 miles of rock, the planet's core is undergoing profound change. How quickly it is changing, however, has long remained a mystery. In a January 2023 study published in Nature Geoscience, Yi Yang and Chaodong Song of Peking University in China used the seismic waves produced by many sets of nearly identical earthquakes to deduce the motion of Earth's inner core. This dense center appears to have consistently spun faster than the outer layers of the planet from the 1970s to the early 2000s. Much of the researchers' surprise, however, they also found evidence that core motion may have slowed to match and then fall behind the speed of Earth as recently as 2009. The core is still rotating in the same direction, but from the perspective of someone on the planet's surface, it appears as though the core has reversed its spin. The outer and inner layers of Earth's core, the former liquid, the latter solid, are made almost entirely of iron and nickel. When our planet and other rocky planets formed, these heavy elements naturally sank to the interior and concentrated into metallic cores. Humans have yet to drill even 1/100th of the distance to where the rocks of Earth's mantle give way to its core. We know, however, that this central structure generates one of the most important requirements for life, a powerful magnetic field. On Earth, the field protects against cosmic rays and their radiation. But according to the geologic record, Earth's magnetic field is far from a constant phenomenon. Instead, it goes through periods of reversals where magnetic north becomes magnetic south. Could the change in the inner core's rotation be a harbinger of such a magnetic field reversal coming soon? Probably not. It might instead be part of a routine 70-year cycle of oscillations, Yang and Song suggest. One effect of the oscillations is very minor variations to the length of a day, around a millisecond at most. The researchers also suggest that the changes in the core's behavior might indirectly influence Earth's climate system through small, cyclic movement of the planet's surface. For most people, these changes fly well under the radar. Additionally, the proposed 70-year timescale for these oscillations remains controversial. Others have suggested the core alters its rotation on timescales ranging from a few years to a few decades, much shorter than Yang and Song's model suggest. In an interview with phys.org, seismologist Rovi Kalik attributes the differences to the potentially incomplete data sets from which many models draw. And with miles of solid rock separating us from the core, it will likely be a long time before we unearth all its secrets. Written in sand, Amazon River sediments reveal exactly when and how quickly the Andes grew to such great heights. Sand is everywhere. Most people don't take notice of the tiny grains of broken rock or shells within it, and may even curse the way it gets all over the car after a beach trip. But in that sand could lie a geological record of some of the planet's mightiest mountains. Research published in Nature Communications in late 2022 examined the sands washed away from the Andes Mountains by the Amazon River. Millions of years' worth of this sand has accumulated in the Atlantic Ocean, thousands of miles away and on the opposite coastline from its source. The researchers, led by Cody Mason from the University of West Georgia, turned to the tiny zircon crystals found within this dusty debris to map out a part of the continent's tectonic history. Zircon is tough. When exposed to the wind, rain and waves that break down other rocks at the Earth's surface, this ultra-durable mineral survives. It is also a fabulous clock because it's rich in radioactive elements like uranium and thorium. As these slowly transform into lead through a predictable process called radioactive decay, they release helium atoms along the way. By analyzing the ratio of these elements within the crystals, researchers can pinpoint not only when the zircon first formed, but also when it made its way to the surface as surrounding mountains eroded. In this way, Mason and his colleagues found a recorded history of Andean mountain growth spanning the past 180 million years within the grains of sand from the Atlantic, with the modern Andes popping up as recently as 12 million years ago, a blink of the geologic eye. We've run out of time for today's episode of Discover. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jory Slodkey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Discover is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call area code 919-832-5138. That number again is area code 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.